Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Roper Report Extra podcast. We have Shrewsbury on Saturday. It's one of those periods where we seem to be playing everyone all of the time and games are just coming thick and fast, which me personally, I absolutely love. I don't know any football fan that doesn't. We beat Bradford on Boxing Day. Unfortunately, lost against Portsmouth, which wasn't perfect. It wasn't ideal, but they lost against Gillingham. So, you know, nonetheless, I haven't really lost that much ground on them, really. We played Shrewsbury on Saturday. And we've got Ollie from the Salopcast, who we spoke to already. It was Glyn last time. This time we have Ollie. Ollie, how are you doing? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. Things have changed at Shrewsbury since we last spoke to Glyn. What's been going on?
Yeah, so we got a new manager. So we relieved the last manager, John Askey, and we approached and got Sam Ricketts, who you guys might know played for Hull and Premier League, quite a few other played for Wolves as well, quite a few other clubs, and played 50 Caps of Wales. He's our new manager.
How's he doing? Is he doing well?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one, actually. It's probably quite unique. Our goalkeeping coach played football for Wales, and he was our caretaker. And also we got a really good up-and-coming young coach who's our academy coach. And the goalkeeping coach, Danny Coyne, and the first team, sorry, actually, he was the academy coach at the time. They took over and they were like a caretaker team.
Yeah.
But Sam Ricketts knows both of them really well. So he's come in and they've kind of formed like a new, a kind of like a first team management team. So he's the manager. The goalkeeping coach has been appointed a first team coach, and the academy manager has been appointed a first team coach as well. And they've just kind of carried on. And under the caretakers, we actually had a really good run. We won 5 out of 6.
I remember when, because obviously I follow the Salopcast on Twitter, and I remember the situation with John Askey. It was a case of, I remember when I spoke to Glyn, he was like, people are not too sure. People are a bit, they kind of was sort of on the fence, but beginning to fall off it, I think, last time I spoke to him. And then gradually I seen the tweets coming out from obviously Salopcast and, you know, a few of the Shrewsbury outlets, where it just became sort of untenable, didn't it? Like, what went so wrong with that?
It's an interesting case. I think it was just gradually people lost faith. And we started getting worse. So we started the season with good performances, but poor results. We had the odd result. We beat Barnsley at home, which is a bit of a freak result. But the results weren't good enough. There was rumours coming out of the club about all sorts of things, about training and stuff. But he was also making really odd choices, like bringing on strikers who haven't been warming up on the 90th minute, which is an odd one.
Yeah, that is odd.
And I think for a lot of fans, there was Fleetwood away was a bit of a turning point. Joey Barton, I think at the time it was his 13th game in management, basically out-tactic John Askey throughout the whole game. And that was a pretty poor show. We sat really deep with two slow central defenders, and they scored 2 goals quite easily. And I think people just saw nothing was going to improve. And after he'd left, it was quite interesting. Also over all the interviews, and there was also a meet the manager session, which the goalkeeping coach went to as well. And they were just talking about some basics, training, fitness, you know, sharing information with the players, you know, modern football things. He didn't seem to be doing. He seemed a bit of an old school type football manager.
Yeah, that's definitely how he kind of came across. And it was, I don't know, it was one of those things where I just kept a close eye on it, I suppose, more than I would other clubs because of talking to Glyn originally. And obviously I went down to the Shrewsbury game. I went down to the New Meadow and caught that game. And it was weird. You played really well first off, but then it kind of didn't really produce any chances for you necessarily. And then second half, it was just a case of I don't even think we amped it up a gear. It was just a case of once that goal went in, the head seemed to drop and there did seem to be a lack of faith.
Yeah, I don't think the players had a lot of confidence in what they were being asked to do, if they were being asked to do too much. There was rumours of just being five aside in the week. And the game against you was probably quite a classic game in terms of, you know, didn't do too bad. Kind of had a few glimpses and a few opportunities, but nothing really stood out. And then finally, the opposition just created enough chances. And I think you guys were very clinical in that game. And let Honeyman coming on. And then he basically just kind of overloaded our left back, who's not really a left back, he's a central defender. And then, yeah, if I remember right, that was the undoing of us. He just completely overloaded that side and it worked really well for you.
Yeah, I think we brought Honeyman and O'Nien on that game.
Yeah,
that
you did, yeah. It was a nice finish for him. Really, really crisp finish. I saw he's been in your team a bit more as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Like I was saying, I was at the game and he came on and I said to the lad who was with Tom, he said, who's that coming on? He said, it's O'Nien that's coming on. I was like, I don't really rate him. I don't think he's going to get anywhere near the team, but, you know, nonetheless. But since then, he's been playing right back the past few weeks for us.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's been man of the match the past two games playing right back. I have no idea how he's managed to do it, but he's like everyone's favourite player at the moment. Everyone just really likes him because he just works his knackers off. But that was the start of him turning the performances in. I think that goal was needed. So, yeah, definitely O'Nien at that point kind of didn't really get in the team. And then he's definitely got into it. Maybe, you know, in the wrong position at right back, but he's popped up with a couple of goals, scored against Barnsley. He scored against somebody else as well. Portsmouth the other day. So he's actually scored in quite big games. You mentioned about, I read somewhere, something about fitness levels with Shrewsbury as well. And I was going to mention that. We did steamroll you like the last 10 minutes in getting that goal. What was that I heard about the fitness levels with Askey?
Yeah, it was under Paul Hurst. Our fitness was probably the best in the league. And it was noticeable by a lot of fans that fitness wasn't the first thing that came on people's list in terms of concerns, but it was definitely on there. And yeah, it just seems like we don't seem to be that fit. The goalkeeping coach, Danny Coyne, when he came in, said about upping the intensity in training. And there hasn't really been enough time to do work in terms of fitness. For me, it's harsh. It's not harsh. It's true. John Askey didn't seem to be up for it. He didn't seem to do the basics. And fitness was one of them. And yeah, you guys just seem to just not even really, you don't think you even went through the gears. I think you're quite right there. You just seem to just carry on plugging away. And eventually the opportunities came and yeah, you scored two goals.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that game. It definitely felt like a long slog to get to the ground to begin with as a fan, man. That was some walk. But so what is changed with, because I remember, again, I feel like I was privy to all of this happening because of me following the Salop cast, I've seen all the retweets and all that sort of stuff. And I know there was a bit of a clamour for Paul Hurst.
Yeah, it was a bit of a split one. So some people wanted Paul Hurst to come back. The club weren't keen for him to come back. The chief exec had come out and said they weren't keen for him to come. And the chief exec shared a story that when they came back from Wembley, Paul Hurst just got in his car and drove off because he'd already packed his office.
Ah,
okay. So that's not how you're going to win friends. I don't think they were that keen for him to come back in that stint. I don't think the management team, the fans were quite potentially pleased for him to come back. But I don't know. I'm not really that keen on managers going back. And I think there's so many people in football. I think there's enough people, enough managers, and there's enough people to be able to give them opportunity not to necessarily need to go back.
So do you think that, originally, did you think Ricketts was a good choice? And how do you feel about him now?
Yeah, I was surprised at first, especially coming from Wrexham, which is a kind of rival. Well, it is a rivalry for us, but we haven't played them for over 10 years because they've been in non-league football. So it's hard for that rivalry is kind of ebbing away. It's not like you guys where you have a real fierce rival. We've been where we are. We've got quite a few clubs that I've put inverted commas rivals. Yeah. So I was surprised at first, but he'd done really well at Wrexham. He had like over 50, he had a 50, nearly 60% win rate. He's got all his badges. He's played at the right level. He's played in every single division, including non-league. He's coached at Wolves, and he's done things like he was saying how he went to Celtic and did a bit of work and just understanding what Brendan Rodgers was doing. So he seems quite well schooled, and obviously it's really key for a team like Shrewsbury to have those connections, to get players in on loan and to have those links, and certainly he's going to have those links, hopefully be able to get us a couple of good players in.
Yeah, and I noticed that about the team as well. There's quite a few loan signings in there, and the one that really stuck out to me was Greg Doherty, because obviously I live in Glasgow.
Okay.
My family are all Rangers fans, so that one really stuck out to me because we were linked to him as well. And I seen he scored an absolute beauty in the FA Cup.
Oh, that was a brilliant goal. Absolutely brilliant goal. Yeah, he's got a good strike in him. All these goals he's scored have been from most of them from long range. He scored a really good goal against Coventry. He scored a good one Tuesday night a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember who that was against now. And yeah, he's a really, really good player and someone definitely to watch. There are rumours that he's going to go back to Rangers. Mm-hmm. And potentially play in their team. But one of the changes that we've seen since we've played you is we now play a 4-4-2 diamond.
Okay.
So we play Grant, who's a sitting deep line midfielder, Doherty and Norburn, and then we play Lauren is a number 10. So Doherty's playing as like the right-sided central midfielder, which gives him lots of space to run into. He's one of those players that's deceptively fast, as you saw from the goal against Salford in the FA Cup. So he's definitely someone to keep your eye out for.
He definitely felt like he was at Hamilton not that long ago. And I mean, Hamilton, with all due respect, you are not one of the big hitters in the Scottish Premier League, but he stood out a mile off. But I think it was just a case of him being a little bit unlucky that Gerrard came and had his own plans and moved him out. But I remember when I spoke to Glenn, he was saying he looked dangerous and he'd play, Askew would sometimes play him and then change him with Norburn and so on and so forth, but he really seems to be like one of the first names on the team sheet now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has. We played a very, very settled team. There's been very little change in the last, say, 9 games. It's been pretty much the same team. The only difference is that the central defender had a niggle. We brought in a guy we got from Coventry called Haynes, a ginger lad playing at left back, so he's come in. And other than that, it's been really been the same team. The big difference probably from when we played you was now playing with two strikers. When we got a lad called Faye, who we signed from non-league, who's been banging in the goals. He nearly broke a club record in 6 goals in 6 games, but unfortunately he couldn't do that. So it was just 5-5 for him. But he's been key for us as well in terms of scoring goals.
Because I remember when you played against us, I can't remember who it was who played up front, but it was like quite a big lad that seemed to know how to win the ball in the air, but not do much else with it.
Yeah, we've got 3 kind of like big lads. We've got Holloway, we've got Angle, and we've got The Shop. We call him The Shop because his name's John Lewis. So that's obviously really original. He I can't remember who he was playing against you, but either 3 of them, they're not that effective.
I think it was
on the
Angle.
Ball. Yeah, Angle's gone missing. He's played a few games. He scored against Accrington Stanley at home, and he's a decent, seems like a decent player, but again, I hear rumours that he's not the best trainer and he seems to have disappeared from the team again. So with Faye coming in, we've had Holloway, but Holloway was apparently suffering of a bit of cold or man flu on in the week. So he came off at half time. And but there's a lot of kind of debate amongst the fans that we need another striker. But I quite like Holloway. He's a bit of a target man. He's your he's your Quinn to your Phillips in terms of your target man. And he really helps Faye to score those goals. And it's very rare to get 2 goal scorers at this level, even at any level, really, when you have 2 strikers in front.
Massively. And I think that was almost one thing that I noticed from, I mean, only 1 game to judge on, but when I went to the game, I remember thinking, even when you kind of had a bit more of the ball first half, you didn't seem that dangerous up front. So that's probably what's shot you. Well, it's not shot you up the league, but you've certainly taken steps towards climbing.
Yeah.
And I've been looking through your results and stuff like that. But one thing I did notice is obviously you got beat off Accrington Stanley the other day, which is no great shame. They're a good side.
They're a very good team.
But Sam Ricketts said that you were outworked and you were outfought. Would you agree with the sentiments on that?
Yeah, when you concede a goal after less than a minute. And then, unfortunately, Doherty ran in towards our goal in the second one and he got tackled and they counter-attacked us high up the pitch, pressing us. So we were 2-0 down quite quickly in that game. And one thing that Ricketts has been saying that, he's definitely that manager that works on set plays, set pieces, and, in terms of the structure of how he plays. But one thing he has been keen to say is that he expects hard work from his team. They weren't at the races in the first half, and it was definitely the worst first half we've seen under Sam Ricketts. And unfortunately, and maybe luckily for your fans on Saturday, we've actually got the worst away record in the league.
In the whole league?
In the whole league, we're bottom of the away league table.
No idea about that.
Yeah,
I thought AFC Wimbledon would be there or thereabouts.
No, they are about 19th or something like that. You've got Bradford, who are second from bottom. So the only hope, the only glimmer of hope I have is that you only just beat those guys. But yeah, we've only got 6 points away on the road from 12 games, which has been a poor showing for us on the road. We've only won one away at all season in the league.
I don't know whether you saw the...
I did see that.
You see that?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought it wasn't in the back of the net, by the way. I mean...
We had a story like that where we played quite a few seasons ago. We were in a title race to try and get promoted out of League Two. And a goal like that happened and Wickham scored and the referee gave us a goal, but the ball never went over the line. So it was kind of opposite to that in the sense that it didn't go over the line, but the referee gave it. That referee never reffed again. But yeah, sometimes you take cues from the fans and stuff. Did the fans react when that went over the line?
I mean, it was an odd one because I actually didn't go, annoyingly enough. I had to work, and now and again that does happen, but my brother went. Now, when I was watching it on the stream, I actually turned to the lad next to me and went, oh, they've equalised. And then I realised we were like just playing on. My brother, he said basically everyone went, oh, because it was last 10 minutes. He's like, and then all of a sudden everyone went, is he not given that? And then everyone kind of just ploughed on with it and went, all right, cool, no problem.
That's interesting. Yeah, the reason I asked that is because in one of the things the FA said when they sacked that, basically that guy's now a linesman. I think he's a linesman in professional football again, but he's not allowed to be a ref. And they said that he didn't take the cues from the fans. So the fake goal was in front of the Wickham fans and they never celebrated. So it was, no one celebrated or anything like that. So yeah, it's always interesting to see how they, so they say don't follow the crowd, but yeah, in that case they did. So yeah, good result for you guys. Yeah, obviously keeps you in the running, obviously with Luton and Portsmouth having a great season.
Pompey thankfully went and got beat on Wednesday.
I don't know, I've lost track of the days. Yeah, I know they lost to Gillingham, but Gillingham are a good side.
Yeah, Tom Eaves has done quite well.
And yeah.
Funnily enough, talking about signings, I think we need a centre off personally, and I think we need a centre forward. And Tom Eaves is someone I'd be quite interested in. But do you think Shrewsbury need to make any changes?
Yeah, we do. We've had Tom Eaves on loan. Yeah. We've had two sides of Tom Eaves. We had Tom Eaves when he first came on loan was absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And the second version we had was absolutely atrocious.
Okay.
I was actually preparing for our own podcast, which we record on Sunday, and I was thinking about what we need. For me, we need left back, probably a left winger. They're for me the two definites we need, probably to trim the club down a little bit. We've got too many players and we've got quite a few out on loan. We've actually got quite a large squad for this level. So I think we definitely need a left back, a left winger is definitely needed to bolster the squad.
Do you think that you mentioned about your formation as well before, you've got that diamond. You mentioned about being settled as well. Do you think you're going to stick with that then? Are you basing it based on those formations or can you be quite flexible?
I think the challenge we have at the moment in terms of change of formation is we've got one of the most effective wingers in the league, Sean Worley. He has, in terms of his like XA, in terms of his expected assists, he's like was the highest in the league before he got injured. And last season, he scored a lot of goals and made a lot of assists. And he's a very, very good dribbler of the ball. And he's out injured. So our best winger is out injured. So that's kind of prompted us to change formation. I think if Worley was back fit and if we signed maybe another player, I think he'd do quite well. Gilliard, who we signed from Newcastle, is a good, seems like a decent player, but he is so weak that he gets pushed off the ball, which is a bit frustrating. So I think we need to finish strength in that area.
Sorry, go ahead. No, you first.
Yes, yeah. So are you guys still playing the same 4-2-4 type formation?
Yeah, basically. I think it's like recently, we sort of toyed with the three at the back for a little bit, but we've been playing four at the back, Cattermole and Power sort of holding, and then you've got Honeyman and Maguire, and you've got on the right-hand side... Gooch on the left, McGeady, who's been absolutely phenomenal recently, and then you've got Madger up front still. But we've got Charlie Wyke and Watmore back. I've come back from injury as well. Wyke only on Boxing Day. Watmore's been back for a couple of weeks now. so we have players on the pitch who can really change a game. I mean, you never want to say to a fan in League One, because it sounds so arrogant and it sounds so up our own backsides. But I think we're quite aware of what the stadium like can be like for teams in League One. There's a lot of teams that have come and really shown, given themselves a good performance. Fleetwood played well against us. Oxford played really well against us. But as a Shrewsbury fan coming on Saturday, the last time he played us, we were a Premier League team. Obviously, it should be a relatively full house or there or thereabouts on Saturday. Do you have any nerves about playing like that? Or are you the kind of team that will probably show up in a big stadium?
I think that the challenge is for this level, and obviously when you guys in the Premier, you don't see it as much, is the turnover of players is so huge at this level that it's really hard to tell. Like I could say, you know, quite a few years ago, we went to the Emirates and took the lead, but none of those players play for us anymore. One of them, maybe Matt Sadler was there in that team. So I think it's really, really hard to tell. It might be one of those games that kind of the events is going to determine the result. And, you know, we get like, so for example, against Barnsley, we got a goal really early on that just kind of led, that to kind of just kind of carried us to the victory. Then on Saturday, we gave away in the last few minutes. I think the first 5 minutes is going to be absolutely key in terms of how we perform. I think in some ways, maybe the result and the performance at Accrington Stanley means that the players are going to be, you know, on high alert from the game kicks off, and maybe that could be in our favour.
Yeah, and I think on the flip side, we played all right against Bradford. Like Bradford, I know, even though they technically scored, didn't actually really carve us open at any point. And Bradford are on decent form, but it's been really difficult to judge teams in League One this season. Like when we've had, like Rochdale came up, Scunthorpe came up, and we just blew them away instantly. Barnsley were probably the best team we faced at the stadium like this season, and we were 3-0 up against them in 30 minutes. And then the likes of Wickham come up, and with all due respect to Wickham or Fleetwood or Oxford, you would fancy Sunderland to put them away, especially at home. I think we were really, really strong at home, and yet we didn't. We kind of laboured to a draw, and it's massive how long a team can go without conceding against us at home. Because if you can go 20, 30 minutes, I wouldn't say the crowd gets restless or more patient than we have been in a long time, but there's definitely an element of, if we get one, the forward players just seem to go like on an absolute rampage. I mean, the amount of teams we've put 3 goals past in like 10 minutes and just finished the game there and then is actually more than I've ever seen in my lifetime as a Sunderland fan. But when it gets like maybe half time 0-0 or 50, 60 minutes 0-0, like you could also do a Wickham, which end up scoring 50 minutes from time, and we've literally got to chuck everything at you to get it. So, I mean, I want every team to be fearsome of coming to the stadium light, but if I'm honest with you, it doesn't always happen.
No, I think we've got enough players that have played long enough. We've got enough old hats, I think, in the team that I don't think we'll be in awe of going to the stadium light at all. I can't see that happening with this team. There's a few players that might be a bit jittery. Our right back, John Bolton, was terrible when we played at Wembley in the playoff final. Mm-hmm. But we've had quite a... it'd be fascinating. I think it's generally going to be one of those games you just don't know. It's really, really hard to predict how the players are going to perform. I think the players are going to be to what they've been training probably today, maybe tomorrow, then going up. I think that maybe the travel could have a bit of an impact as well in the short period we've got. But our waveform suggests that it's going to be an easy win for you guys.
I mean, it is quite a trek. I mean, I came from Glasgow, which is a little bit different. But like, it's Glasgow's not that far away from Sunderland, realistically. But the weird thing that I quite liked about Shrewsbury is I actually had no idea what to expect when I got there, right? And it's actually a really, really nice city, isn't it? Like, I had no idea what to expect. It was lovely. It was like,
yeah, it's an amazing, amazing place. I don't live in Shrewsbury. I live in Shrewsbury for 5 years till I was 11 and moved away. But it's a very, very old town. Tudor buildings, castle. The Welsh kept it. The reason why Shrewsbury is quite nice and quite big is because it was basically the English kings would always give money to the Earl of Shrewsbury to keep the Welsh out. So that's why it's quite a large town, market town.
I heard that story, actually. I can't remember who told me it, but I feel like on that really massive long walk where I had to walk like for what was like an hour or something to the stadium.
You should have got a taxi.
Yeah. On the flip side, a few weeks later, we had Accrington Stanley, which had no roof, torrential downpour.
Wet on the terrace. That's quite funny to hear.
Oh, terrible. I mean, did you go to Accrington Stanley?
I went yesterday.
What's it like when it's dry? Because it looks quality when it's dry. But
yeah, I've been there. I was supposed to take my wife, but she wasn't that well, so I was sitting this time. So I had a sitting seat because she wouldn't want to stand. But I've been on that terrace in a nice sunny afternoon, and it's glorious. But similarly, I've been on an away terrace at Macclesfield, which is a very, very similar to the Stanley one. And yeah, it got absolutely rained on, which is not ideal. And yeah, I think Shrewsbury fans were quite fearful it was going to be cold. A couple of weeks ago, we had that really cold weekend. And I think Shrewsbury fans were quite fearful that Stanley was going to be the same. But yeah, unfortunately, it was just the football that let us down.
Yeah, I mean, we got to the point where it was so wet, like I couldn't even see us score a goal. It was ridiculous. I actually have never been more soaked through... I don't think I've ever had a point in my life where I've been more so. That's when League One started losing its novelty.
How is that going with the Sunderland fans? Are they enjoying the ride? Is it a bit of a kind of adventure season for you guys?
Yeah, it is, if I'm honest. I mean, we're absolutely loving it, and it's the whole like Viva League One sort of thing. But I think, I don't know whether it's League One. There's definitely elements of it, but I think being bought into a new ownership, having something to believe in, having players that want to wear the shirt. Because I think the thing is, in League One, it's not really... I mean, yes, we've got McGeady, who's obviously a sort of a household name. And there's players that, like McLaughlin who get in the Scotland squad and stuff like that. But the majority of the team are just lads. And there's something that's quite nice about that. Like, we've got this new ownership, and then we've got like a bunch of lads that seem to get what playing for Sunderland is. And they're just like, it's the biggest club they've played for. So they're bust a nut. And it's just, that's quite nice. But at the same time, we're also winning games.
That's one thing we're missing from last season. Last season was just ridiculous. Just going into every single game thinking you're going to win, and yeah, nothing keeps football fans happier than them winning games.
Yeah, I think we've lost two. We've lost against Burton and we've lost against Portsmouth, and I was more understanding than I had been in the past. I was kind of like, all right, you know, chalk that one off. We'll go again next week. But realistically, it was like, it was still a bit shit that we got beat. Like, that Portsmouth game was a bit of a gutter because we give the penalty away, went down to 10 men. We were 2-0 down in no time, got one back. And I thought, oh, here we go. We'll get another draw with 10 men. And we ended up getting beat 3-1. And it was a bit like, okay, League One's not as great as it seems.
It's a tough division to get out of. It's such a long season as well. Obviously, you guys being used to having 20 teams in a league, those extra games, and it's like Portsmouth came up, and everyone was, all the media was saying they were going to win the league last year, and they were nowhere near it. It's all about consistency in this league, and I think that's where you guys might just struggle for automatic this year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we've got, and I mean, I was looking at games the other day, like the important games, sort of towards the end of this, coming towards the second half of the season. And I was looking at the likes of, you know, we've got two games in hand, but you've got to win those games in hand. And like Accrington Stanley away sounds easy on paper, maybe 2 years ago, but it's really not. Like, there's no game in this league where you can be guaranteed you'd win, because it's not quite as random as the Championship was, where you could go and like beat Derby 4-1, even though you bottom the league and you haven't won in 10. Or similarly get like hammered off the team at the bottom if you talk. It's just like, it's not quite as random as that, but there's still an ability of like, if AFC Wimbledon beat Sunderland or beat Portsmouth, it wouldn't be like the biggest shock ever. Like, no. It's not that surprising, because a lot of the teams seem to not be kick and rush, but there's a big man up front, relatively basic, straightforward football. And it seems that the teams that are set apart are the ones that have someone who can make a bit of a difference in the final third. Yeah. Like, we've got like McGeady, Portsmouth have got two really good wingers. I think Walsall did all right at the beginning. They've got, is it Ishmaeli and Josh Ginelli? That seems to be what sets the team apart. But realistically, there's a big bunch of those teams that appear to be big man up front and kind of like rough and tumble football.
Yeah, I'd say the rough and tumble football's definitely declined in the last few years. I think the kind of the impact of the Premier League has seen a level of this level improve. And last season, the teams that did well were definitely teams that were footballing teams.
Like yourself, for example.
Yeah, ourselves. We were very much a counter-attacking team. Yeah. But then the difference we had was John Nolan, who was absolutely immense, and who could do that really smart pass or that goal from distance. But I think winger teams that are basically fit, and League One is very much about organisation. Yeah. And keep going. And then you have the odd team like Accrington. I think Accrington Stanley is the kind of team you'd probably lose to, because they're not big. They're all quite short. Even their strikers are all less than 6 foot, and they pass and move really, really well. But yeah, it's an interesting division, and it's all about a grind. It's about the consistency. I think that's the difference between players at this level. Players at this level can do a lot of things a Championship player can do, just not consistently, and that's why they play at this level.
Yeah, no, I think you're bang on with that, because I was talking about Josh Ginnelly before, and I was really impressed with him when we played Walsall, what seemed like every single week about a month ago. And he's interesting. Preston, I think. It's almost like as soon as someone's half decent, they make the step up, don't they?
Yeah. And then interestingly as well, there's a lot of players kind of skip this level as well. A lot of teams kind of stockpile players as well. So Josh Nelly's actually came through Shrewsbury's youth team and went to Burnley failed to make the grade there. And yeah, you get a lot of players kind of jump up now. And January is going to be interesting. You'll see a lot of loan players come in, and particularly strikers from bigger teams. January's going to be fascinating for us. Really hoping we can get a few players in and probably ship a few out. But it's going to be interesting. January, imagine you guys are hoping to sign a few players as well.
Well, apparently there's a centre-half that we're... Or there's a player we're close to signing, is all we've been told, and that one's close, is what Jack Ross said. And I would assume it's defender, because we have struggled a little bit defensively. Like Baldwin and Flanagan are all right, but they're very much a very similar sort of player. And Leuven's seems like a nice enough fella, but I definitely think his legs have gone. I mean, he got beat to the ball for pace by like a giraffe of a man against Portsmouth. And he took the player down, gave the penalty away, got sent off. And Ozturk, whenever Ozturk's played, he hasn't really impressed at all. So at the very least, we need someone who's going to challenge Flanagan and Baldwin, but we've got Wyke and we've got Watmore back. So in terms of centre forwards, we might be all right, but a lot of it hinges on whether Josh Madger signs a new contract.
Yeah, has he been attracting interest from other teams, I guess?
Yeah, and his contract's up in 6 months as well. Same with Lyndon Gooch, but I would be more hopeful that Lyndon Gooch would stay. That could end up being more of a winner. I don't know whether you watched Gucci down. I'll remember Gucci when we played against you, but he played really, really well against you, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did, actually. He was quite impressive. Both him. Yeah, he did. I can remember writing his name now in the agenda. Yeah, he set up one of the goals. I think he came off the bench, didn't he? He didn't start. Actually. Yeah, he's coming back from injury. He came and started and he came off the bench.
Because it was himself and Honeyman that came on. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, him and Honeyman came on, and Gooch got both of the assists, which I suppose brings me on to the next question. Which players would you fear from a Sunderland perspective, and which players should we be watching out for from Shrewsbury side? Who's on form at the moment?
I think anyone that can run with the ball is a threat to us. So Gooch and Honeyman are probably players that we're probably most fearful of. So we're not really fearful of players that are kind of rough and tumble, like a Catamol or something like that. We're quite up for that kind of battle. And we've got plenty of players that will stick up for each other. So if the game goes quite physical, that won't be a problem for us. So I think anyone that can run at pace, our central defence is going to be a threat, especially if we do play Waterfall and Sadler. There is going to be an issue for us all season that we haven't got a central defender with pace.
Yeah.
So that's an area that I'd imagine you guys would try to target. In terms of threats from us, Greg Doherty, we've mentioned,
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's on form. But also Faye, who you never really saw. I don't think he actually played against you. Faye is a striker who's frustratingly offside quite a lot, but he's one of those classic kind of poacher strikers. And he's been banging in the goals, and he's a threat. So I don't know how fast your central defenders are, but he's quite quick. So for him, now we're playing this diamond from left back. Haynes is more of a wing back than a winger, necessarily. He's really, really good going forward.
Yeah.
He impressed in the Checker trade and in a reserve league game. He really impressed the manager and has taken his place now. So he's quite an attacking fullback, which could be obviously a strength for us, potentially an area of vulnerability as well.
You mentioned Gillyhead before. Is he on loan from Newcastle?
No, he's a Shrewsbury Town player.
Because he actually seemed all right. He was the one that stuck out to me actually at New Meadow. I don't know why, he just did.
Yeah, he's I think he's only done about one assist so far this season. He's a very good dribbler of the ball. He's had an opportunity to score on Saturday and he fluffed his lines. We should have had a second penalty, but the referee seemed a bit fearful to give us two penalties, which he'd won. He's a really, really good dribbler, but I don't know, he doesn't seem to have that end product. But we've got two strikers now, so maybe that would help him in terms of having someone in the box. He's come on and played as a number 10, kind of a bit like in that kind of Bale mode, playing as like a central winger.
Yeah, of course.
A few times. I mean, quite effective, but not enough for us in terms of scoring a goal. But Lauren, who's been playing his number 10 role, most of our players played really poorly against Stanley. So I think if it's probably in terms of Ricketts time at the club, I think this team selection is going to be the most kind of interesting. We've got no idea. He could ring a lot of changes because of obviously Christmas time, but also that really, really poor performance against Stanley.
Yeah. So I suppose one thing I would always ask, I don't know whether you're a man for it, but predictions for Saturday.
Yeah, we always do a prediction ourselves on the podcast. So let's try and remember what I said on our own podcast. I think the fact that where you are in the league and our current form, I can only really say a Sunderland win. Me and Glenn actually both went for a Sunderland. We do a prediction league between us.
Yeah.
And Glyn and I both went for a Sunderland. When Glyn went 3-1, I went 2-1. I think that's probably going to, that's if I had to put, if I put a bet on it, I think I'd go 2-1 to Sunderland.
I think for me, I'll take a 2-1 as well, actually. I think I'll take a 2-1. I am confident, but just because we're at home, away games can be anything really, but I think at home, I think coming off the back of like what was not a big win so much in terms of the fact we beat Bradford, who are quite low down the league, but big fan base, sold out crowd, biggest League One attendance in forever, I think. I think the mood around the club is good, and I would like to think that we'd make it another 3 points on Saturday.
Do you think there'll be much squad rotation, or do you think you'll play pretty much the same team?
I think
it's still just like a Saturday Tuesday game, this one, so yeah. It's not that close.
Potentially, but Jack Ross, even in cup games like Checker Trade Trophy, changed it a little bit. I think he might keep a similar team. I think he might play Watmore. You mentioned before about your centre-half's not been the greatest at pace and stuff like that, yeah. And Watmore came on and he did change the game against Bradford. So, and Madge's, I don't know, maybe Madge has played too much football recently and maybe there's too much surrounding his future that maybe we should play Watmore. But we did that against Portsmouth. And yeah, I kind of wish Maggio was there, but yeah, potentially a bit of rotation, yes. But I wouldn't imagine it being anything outside of... I don't think it would be anything outside of maybe Watmore for Maggio, maximum.
Cool.
But yeah, are you coming on Saturday?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually coming up for New Year. I really like Northumberland. I've been to Northumberland 5 or 6 times. I'm always like trying to stay somewhere near Bamborough. So we're going up on Saturday, leaving my wife with the car and the dog and going to the game.
Yeah.
I've been researching Roker Park and the front for her to find somewhere for her to go. So yeah, looking forward to my first time to see Sunderland play. So it should be quite an interesting one.
Well, it'll be a better atmosphere than last time your boys came, because I think the last time you lot came, Adnan Januzaj played for us. So things have definitely changed from the David Moyes era. But enjoy yourself on the way up, mate. Thanks for coming on. It's always nice to catch up with someone I've spoken to before, but maybe someone different from the podcast. There is, since I've been at Shrewsbury, there has been that word Salop has just kind of like repeated in my head now and now again, that chant. I don't think it'll ever actually leave me, but I've kept up to date with the Salop cast, and I kind of feel like I know more about Shrewsbury than about any other League One team. So you're doing a good job, because you're getting on my feed all right, so that's good.
Yeah, we do all right. We get quite good listens for a club of our size, and yeah, it's quite fun. We do doing a podcast is quite fun, and yeah, we're probably we must be the only club in the country with a Latin chant. So
I was going to say, do you know the words to it? But you could say it and I wouldn't even know what it was.
Yeah. Salop, that is. Salop means, Salop is like Roman for Shrewsbury.
Well, there goes, that's my level of intelligence. Just a word.
Most people think we're chanting salad, but it's not.
No, I always got salad, but that was because I spoke to Glenn and obviously your podcast beforehand. So I suppose you saved me that embarrassment as well. But no, good chatting to you. I hope you have a really awful Saturday in terms of the result. But aside from that, enjoy Northumberland and enjoy Sunderland. It's a good place. And I can say that because I don't live there. So obviously I left for a reason, but at the same time, I do love going back. There's nothing like home comforts.
So no, yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, I think it's either going to be a really dull game. But as I think the Shrewsbury season's gone so far, it's either going to be really dull and boring for us, or it's going to be very entertaining. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, that's for sure.
3 points will do me in any which way, shape, size or form. But again, like I say, mate, thanks for coming on. And good luck for the rest of the season. I hope that you do really well, as long as it doesn't affect us. But if you can beat, say, Portsmouth on the way, that would be even better. You'd definitely get my good books for that.
No worries. And if you don't go up, we'll come on back on next time.
Yes, you will. Unless you have a great run to the playoffs. You never know. Never doubt yourself.
Yeah. I'll go down and go up.
Look after yourself, my friend. Cheers. Thanks for coming, Ollie. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. So that's the second extra podcast we've done with the Salop cast. Two guys that I really, really like, actually. I really, really, really get on with them. Good guys. In regards to the match on Saturday, I'm pretty confident. McGeady being on form, and I think I've liked Maguire being back. I've been a bit disappointed with Josh Maguire recently, but he's a kid. He's only turned 20 yesterday. He's still young. We're going to have to be patient with him, but I would maybe play Watmore on Saturday if what Ollie was saying is true. But isn't it great, like I say, and I've said this a million times, to have a club that like we all believe in, and we're looking forward to the game. We're looking forward to talking about Sunderland, watching Sunderland, and yeah, enjoy Saturday again. Pack the place out like you did on Boxing Day. And you enjoy your new year, because I don't think I'll speak to you before that. But thanks for tuning in to the Extra Report podcast as always. Have a good one. Happy New Year.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.